Hi, I'm Amy Tianyi Zhao, a Chinese living in America.
And I'm Meg, an American who married into a Chinese family.
We're the host of The Spark,
a podcast that explores what it means to traverse between cultures, interrupt barriers, and create connections.
大家好，我们是火花电台，一档致力于打破文化边界，偶尔以中英双语录制的播客节目。欢迎你和我们一起用对话启迪思想，用好奇点亮可能。
Okay, here we are.
Hello.
Hello, we're back.
We are back after, I don't even know, because we were talking about the amount of weeks that have passed. I knew it was longer than three, but when you said number six, it's long.
That's long. Yeah. We were just talking about before we got on here that just so much has happened. I mean, like, obviously I was gone and then, but I feel like so much has happened in your life. And yeah. I feel like for both of us, we are now like in this new, like there was the us before 6 weeks ago. I think it's 6 weeks. Like I said, I don't know what day it is.
Neither.
And then there's the us after the 6 weeks. And in between all of that, so much has happened and so much has changed and so much has, I don't know. It's just, so I'm just really excited to dive in today and to catch up because I literally, like we've talked here and there, like we were saying before we hopped on throughout this time, but we haven't talked, you know?
No, we have not. No.
No. So all of you listening, you're here with us. We both heard it here first and you heard it here first as well. We're all here together having this conversation. So I don't even know where to start. Honestly.
Well, let's just start with just, you know, Meg was away to China since we spoke last time. She was in China for, I think, 2 weeks.
Three weeks.
And since we recorded our last episode, that was right before her departure. And since then, she left for China. And she left her computer at home, which made me so proud of her. She did it. She went to China. She went through all of these amazing activities and adventure and met all the families, as far as I knew. And during the past 6 weeks, a lot of things also happened in my life. I have since then took over the office as the main coordinator, if not the, I call myself a manager, but you know, of the entire office.
She's a boss.
Because she tries. And you know, I since then took over. It's weird to say that because we're all in our 20s. By we, I mean people in the office. But when someone left after being here for almost a decade, and immediately all of these, everything came to me, and I've been here for 7 years. And so you know, there's a transition professionally, and there is definitely also more growth since I talked to you last time. And we just want to catch up and to see how you're doing and to let you know that we are, yes, still doing the podcast. We are not abandoning it.
We're
never going to abandon it. Yes, I mean, but we want to keep you. We want you.
Huge,
that's
milestone.
Insane.
That's a half of a decade at this point. And if it's a big deal, I think in my mind, I think it's a big deal for us. But secondly, I bring that up because as we were leading up, there's also another reason it's been like 6 weeks. It's been like the jet lag. It's been all these other things. But, and I kind of told you this a little bit of her text message. I have been trying to put my experience, this past experience in China.
Oh, yeah.
On the page.
I'm
writing at first and foremost, like I have been writing this piece since the moment the plane took off, but not physically because I didn't have my laptop. So it's been in my head, just swirling around. The creative process behind what I've been putting down on paper has been so much different than anything else I've ever written.
And ooh, I love that.
I'm so excited for the moment that I'm able to share this, but the way this piece is coming, it is literally coming out sentence by sentence, and I cannot force it. Like, it is this thing that I'm dancing with. It's separate from me, and I'm putting out my hand and saying, here's my hand. Let's walk this together. Let's put this on the page together, word by word, sentence by sentence. And I can't rush it. I found it tells me, nope, too much. Like, and then we like, okay. So I pull back and I don't touch it. And then I'll go to bed. And then it's like, and just before we got on to record today, two more sentences came out. It's just like these little things that, so as a writer, this has just been such an interesting, beautiful, romantic inner world process that's been going on inside of me. And then I was thinking today, I'm like, oh my God, am I ready to be on the podcast today? Because there's so much of this trip that has to come out first on the page. Like, it can't come out here first, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
But there are parts that so clearly belong to the spark and the spark only. Like, it's not going to be a part of that piece, if that makes sense. And this is the first time I'm expressing this and verbally in any capacity, because I'm like, I've been trying to like wrestle with this in my mind. This piece is telling me it's not ready. I'm not going to force it. But then like also, I don't want to spend so much more time waiting to come and talk about it with you here, because I need to talk with you when it's fresh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, so for sure.
I almost see in my portion of talking about this trip, I kind of see it in twofold. I think there's the parts that we talk about before this piece of writing enters into the world. And then potentially there's a conversation we can have after the piece of writing enters into the world. But all in all, we are here to talk about everything, you know?
Yes. And so everything that have happened during the past 6 weeks, it has been, of course, it has not, personally, I just know for a fact that it was a very important time in our life, but it was by no means the most important time in our lives, but it was worth documenting. Mm-hmm. Because so much have happened, and I just love talking to you. I want to know more about it, as you do too, probably in regards to my situation.
Yes.
Because I think we both, we were exposed a lot, both professionally and personally, to different aspects in our lives.
Yes.
And I just have to say, when you were doing the recap just now, it came out sentence by sentence, word by word. That was how, because you know, when we were recording before, when we were talking about stories, when we were trying to piece together moments, there were a lot of like, and then.
Yeah.
But what you just said, that entire section, there was no filler word. And that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it's coming.
I am
so
deep.
I'm so excited.
I've never been more lucid in my creative process. And what's so interesting about that is, in order for me to write this, usually I have to have, if anybody has been following along on Field Notes, you'll know that usually there's a song at the bottom, and that's a song that's been playing on loop while I'm writing that specific piece.
Oh,
but for this piece, because that's part of my creative process, usually this piece demands silence. I cannot have any noise. I cannot have any songs going on in the background, and it has to be absolutely still. And then also, I don't know how to describe it. It's just so interesting. But I'm needless to say, it is coming. I'm very excited to write it down. But I guess where I can start today with you.
Yes, tell me more.
Is I was keenly aware, I think, of my growth and my age when I came back to China this time.
And what does that mean?
Yes, I have to, it's like the first thing, I'm just starting with the first thing that came to my awareness during this trip. Because so for those of you, if you haven't listened to the previous episode, definitely go back and listen to that, because you're going to hear us, who we were and what we were talking about before this trip, before our time apart, and then come back here and catch up with us after, so you can kind of have the full picture. But I have not been back to China in 5 years, as we discussed. And 5 years is a long time. I know we're thinking about it in terms of it's going to be 5 years since we started this podcast in October. Mm-hmm. It's 5 years since I've been to China. It's 5 years this August since I met you. Mm-hmm. And that was the strangest thing too, because when I got to China, I just thought about how much has completely changed, how much of my life has been built through my first two trips in China to China. Mm-hmm. And then how much has been done with that after, but also how much I've grown up. I went to China with boundaries this time. And that sounds really intense, but that's the place we need to start, because that is where our points of conversation on this podcast get interesting. It's those intersections of differences that are going to make for the most compelling conversations. And I think after 5 years, you know, in the beginning, we had such interesting points of conversations on this podcast because everything was so fresh. I'm experiencing all these different things, stepping into your world, stepping into my husband's world for the first time and seeing it with these baby fresh eyes in a way, and taking it all in and looking at it for the very first time. And as time went on through the pandemic, things started to, I wouldn't say dull. We had many things to talk about. But when it comes to the intersection between you and I as people, as two different people from two different cultures, there became less and less to talk about as the 5 years wore on, because I was completely removed from experiencing your culture, except for in my own household, how I could have been.
And also, you know, that was, I think that freshness has passed very early on, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because remember, we were struggling even to define the meaning of the podcast and the meaning of existence, mm-hmm. because we were very clear from the beginning that we don't want it to be a tour guide to a new culture. But how do you keep moving when you were already a part of it and being accepted by it and to live alongside with it?
I
think both of us are struggling a little bit, and then eventually found this in between place. But by being in between, it means that you have to have a clear boundary. So so I do want to know a little bit more about why do you think that is the starting point, and what are some incidents that made you think this is an important word?
Yes, absolutely. So everything that I want to share today on the Spark that belongs to the Spark from this trip, all are instances in which I feel that my boundaries that I've developed over the past 5 years and growing up have been bumped up against because of a clash of culture, because of a clash of differences in the way that I have found that I like to live over the past 5 years versus the life over there. And one thing that's come up on this podcast a couple times between us and our conversations is the concept of, oh, when you're in America, you're American. And when you're Chinese, you're Chinese. When you're in China, you're Chinese. And how that could possibly be for someone like me.
Yeah.
But then after this trip and during it, I realized I have no desire to be Chinese. I have no desire to abandon myself in any way, shape, or form
to please anyone.
To please anyone. And I think that anything that requires you to abandon yourself, to be in the room, to be at the table, is not worth it. And we've always explored this question of where is the line? Where is the line between being culturally sensitive and accommodating and yourself?
Yeah.
And I found it. And the line.
That is such a big moment.
It's a big moment. That's why today I'm like this talking with you. I'm on fire for the spark.
It sounds like a declaration.
This is a declaration. Like, content's about to get real interesting on this podcast. Ooh, because there are so many amazing points of conversation. Today it's not all going to fit in one episode, put it that way. But yeah, just to unpack everything and talk about it, because these conversations apply to everyone who could be listening. Like, it doesn't matter whether or not your experiences are in America or China or vice versa or whatever. It's all over. And that defining moment for me, realizing that no culture, no anything is worth abandoning yourself. And that's where your boundaries come in. Because if you don't have boundaries, then you will abandon yourself at every corner. And never is it okay to abandon yourself, because you lose yourself. And there is a way to exist in harmony with other people in other cultures, speaking other languages, without abandoning yourself. And I figured out how to do that this trip. And it made me realize the last two trips, I was much younger. I was, oh my goodness, I think I was 24. I was only 24 the last two times I went, because my birthday was in April. And the first time I went, my birthday is in April. And then the first time I went was in August when I met you. The second time was in that following January. And then no more. And I was young at that time. I can't believe how young I was looking back. Like, I've just gotten really old through life's experiences, I'm about to be 30 in almost a month. So, but that was huge for me. That was huge, because coming in, and I could tell people could see my postures changed in a way, like metaphorically. And, you know, when I saw you in New York at the end of 2022, you told me, I like this version of you. Don't let her go. Keep her. And so it's been eye-opening to me that, because you've watched me grow up in an essence, like you as my friend have watched me grow up. And I think that revolution really started happening in 2020 when everything kind of started going sideways, and I really did have to stand up and make my own decisions and draw my own boundaries and say, no, this is how I'm going to do it. This is my life. I'm claiming it. And then through the experiences that followed, I had to learn. I think I initially learned all of this in 2020 through the process of branching out and beginning my own family and getting married. And then I became my own woman the moment that I had to stand up and be strong in my own marriage through the hardships of everything that we went through and everything that my husband went through.
Yes.
It's completely that Taylor Swift song, "You're on your own, kid. You always have been." And I am okay with that. I was not okay with that for a long time. So I think when I got to China this time, number one, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a grown ass woman. And it was my reintroduction to everybody that I know over there. And I don't mean for any of this to sound harsh, but it's more like I'm saying it in the sense, like, this is exciting. Like, because I get to show them who I am. I have found myself over the past 5 years. And that girl that they met before is still inside of me somewhere. But this is me. I'm in charge. This is the me that's in charge, and she's with me. But this is grown ass Meg coming to China. So I will say that I think everything starts and ends at a traditional Chinese dinner table. And I think like this podcast, and I think that's a great place to start where we go next is like one thing that we talked about in the last episode were some things that I'm nervous about as I'm going. And if you listen to that episode, you know that over the pandemic, I discovered some food sensitivities of mine and things that I kind of have to be careful of. So I don't get sick or be uncomfortable in any way. Mm-hmm. And these
I'm
were
talking
not
about having jet lags.
Yes, exactly. And these things were not discovered the first two times that I went. So I did not know how this was going to go because I heavily have to rely on my husband to be able to tell me what is okay, what's not. Like, and he did a phenomenal job, like husband of the year for the work he did on that front. But there were times when people were pushing me and eat this. Oh, it's okay. Like just one. And I was like, nope, sorry. Like, and I didn't feel like I had to accommodate anymore. I'm not going to abandon myself. I'm not going to abandon and put my body on the line so you can feel better about yourself for some reason. And I kind of, there were moments where I kind of had to say that to my husband. It's like, do I need to put my body on the line anymore to be accepted here, to make other people feel better? Like, no. And that's another thing. It's like, I don't need to put myself on the line that way. Like, I tried everything once the first two times I came. And what was interesting is I sat at other tables where Chinese people at the table, they said, oh, I don't like that. Like I could tell, like they were like, no, I don't like that. I don't want it. And it's like, okay, well, if they can say that they don't like it or that they don't want to eat it, why can't I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was one thing that I really noticed. And I had to communicate that like night one, with my mother-in-law, we had dinner and we're just like, nope, like this is, and my husband was just really good about doing that. But it's just, I don't know, like just being in tune and being okay with drawing the line in the sand, kindly, of course. But it was things like that where it's like, no, I'm sorry. And I don't drink anymore. So I don't drink at all. That's another thing. It's like, I cheers with water every single time. And I don't know if it's like a little bit more acceptable for me because I'm at the age now where everyone's asking all the time here and
there.
Oh,
are you pregnant?
Are you pregnant? Are you pregnant? Like, let it be known on the record, no woman ever wants to be asked that in any capacity. It's not, it's not right. Like what if I can't have kids? You know what? I don't know. I don't, that's not the case that I know of. But what if I couldn't, and somebody's asking me that constantly or everywhere I go. And it's like, that could be a really big hurt for me that I'd have to like, and then you have to go into all of that. And so, so drinking was kind of like one of those things. It's like, oh, okay. Like, but also like, I don't need to drink to sit at the table with you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'm not your entertainment.
Exactly. And so
I didn't fly all the way here to be your monkey.
Exactly. And make me do things. And I get that a lot of it has to do with just wanting to share the culture and to include me. But there are ways for me to do that that's comfortable for me and you.
Yes.
And I think that was such a huge thing because, I mean, the last time I was in China, we brought two other fellow Americans with us. And I watched them go through what I went through the first trip. It was like, eat this, you have to. And then if you don't, it's like, oh, what's wrong with you? But really it's like, and I know I'm probably butting up against like some cultural norms and cultural, adhering to the culture in a way, but also that's where that comes in line. It's like, no one should have to abandon themselves for anything, including a culture.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, we can pause there for a second and chat, because I feel like I just like word vomited all these different things. But I think that's a really good place to start, you know?
It is a good place to start, because I think, I'm just processing all of the things that you said. And for some reason, just by the emotions, hearing about your emotions and the words and the moment that you may have experienced, in my head, I can already picture them. And I know that we haven't, even until this point, we still haven't mentioned a specific incident where you were pushed to the corner that you have to do ABC.
Yeah.
But I can almost see it as someone who's from China. And I think, you know, it's not about good or bad. It's just about different.
Yes.
Being different.
That's right.
And
exactly.
It's about the differences. And I think the boundaries become a tricky subject, because like you say in English, you know, you don't want to be the party pooper.
Right.
But
yeah.
What if it's not my party? You know, what if I didn't even come here to be in your party? I don't think it's a party. I just want to be here.
Yes.
I don't know. Is that also okay? And I also started learning about that part, because there were moments in my life since, you know, I have also experienced that I was in a position that I have to defend other people's dietary changes, and I have to defend or explain this to other people. And there were moments that I felt lonely. I think we talked about it, that why can't you eat this? Why can't, you know, don't be such a bore. But then I remember receiving this message from a very close friend of mine, introducing a restaurant to me, and I just have to say, oh, sorry, I don't think the majority of the things in this restaurant is something that we can consume. I can go, but I don't know if it would be a good idea for all of us to go, given some people's dietary restrictions. And then the response that I received was, how do I even translate it? What's the fun in life if you don't do these? I'm like, but so first of all, you're more fun than me because you did something that is clearly just this. You don't need to put butter on all of the things. Come on.
Yeah.
And second of all, you know, why do you have to say that? I mean,
yeah.
Why do you have to bring someone down in order to feel better? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think it's more like about a respect, and how can I respond would just be like, haha, sorry.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't apologize in the first place. It was just like, I shouldn't have apologized. And you know what? As time goes on, if you keep that boundaries, also that's something that I realized, if you keep that boundary and you don't care about what other people, how other people react, they respect you.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you gain the respect because they know they can't do it. That's it. Like it's, they only brings you down because they only say that the Himalaya is impossible because they have never climbed it. So it's almost like that situation. Of course, they will laugh about your dream because they have never achieved it.
Yeah.
People who have done something similar would only tell you that it's difficult, admire your courage. That's it.
Yeah.
So I think keeping the boundaries, not only when it comes to food, I think food is an easy one.
It's an easy example. Yeah.
Yeah. But just in life.
Yeah.
Of course, we can spend days and days to blame other people. Why do you have to bring me down? Why do you have to make a joke when it's not funny? But I think at the end of the day, we can never really eliminate those voices. And the only thing that we can do is to hold our ground.
Yes.
And so that's shifting the focus back to ourselves, because the boundaries not only apply to your, you know, personal trip that you just had, it was also something that I'm trying to learn. as
Yeah.
someone who is leaving the office to keep this professionalism in my life in the small office, what is the line? You know, when everyone
Yeah.
is so close, like we are living in a Friends episode,
Yes.
how can
Yes.
we do this? You know,
How can we be here and dance in this space together? And
but we know that the resources is limited.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting because something that I was thinking about it and really wanted to share this with you too, that I thought was so interesting. And I don't even know, I think I'm going to unpack this right here, right now. It's just like, so in China, like in the bathroom, there's sometimes two different kinds of toilets. There's like what you would see here in America, and then there's the squat toilet, neither is better or worse. It's just a different way of, but the first time that I, and sometimes there's no option. Like it's like, okay, like you're gonna do a squat toilet, like which once you figure it out, it's all good. But when I think the first two times that I went to China, I felt an obligation to use the squat toilet if there was another one that was available. Like someone was gonna know. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was like, why? Like, what am I trying to prove here in this bathroom stall that no one's ever gonna know or see anyways? And
That is so funny.
isn't that funny? But it kind of is just an it's an example of like
I know the pressure.
I'm old enough to do what I need to do for myself. And there's an unspoken pressure when no one's around in the bathroom to conform in a way. And I think maybe that's pressure that I put on myself, because I came into China the first two times with no boundaries and just wanted to like, la-da-da, like everybody just, I don't know, feed me all the things. I'll do all the things. I'll do whatever you say. It's just a big, like giant game of Simon Says, and we'll just go for it. And no, I'm not American. I'm gonna be whatever I need to be here in this moment. And that didn't really turn out so great for me, like the first couple times, because just physically, I think emotionally too, is not a great idea. But this time, we spent a lot of time in malls. It's cold outside, so go to the mall and you get some bubble tea, which we did quite a bit. And there was two options, and I didn't use the squat toilet. I'm like, I don't give a
Good
like,
for you.
I'm gonna be the American, and they're gonna see that I'm preferring, like, if there somebody's in line, they're gonna see that I'm preferring this over that, and there is nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean I'm rejecting the culture. It doesn't mean that I'm rejecting being here. It's like, it's okay. Obviously, I'm American, so I can do American things when I'm in China, and that's okay. And the first two times, I don't think I gave myself that permission because I wanted to show a gesture that I'm here to conform. I'm here, to be part of you because, and I think it's a lot to do with I wanted to impress my husband's family. I wanted to show them that I'm flexible, that I can withstand, like, but I don't have to do that. And I don't know if I ever had to do that in the first place, but I mean, there's obviously a level that maybe I did have to do my time in some way, shape, or form to as a gesture of goodwill. But I have nothing to prove. And I think that that comes to with coming back to China as my husband's wife.
Yes,
And that
she
is a,
said it.
I said it. And before I was just his girlfriend, I wasn't even his fiance. So instantly I feel like the pressure is off in a way.
That's great.
And that felt really good. It was like, I'm not meeting these people anymore. They're not new to me. And they see me as one of them. So I can just be. And there's a part of that that I grapple with. It's like, well, why couldn't I just be, before? And like, for anybody listening, if you're not familiar with like traveling too much or experiencing other cultures, I think there is some sort of goodwill that you do have to extend in the beginning, to show people that you're being culturally conscious. I think there's, looking back, there is a way to do it, like I was saying earlier, with boundaries. And so you don't abandon yourself. And that's okay too. It's just like, I think it's a combination of just all this growing up, the change of status of who I am and my place in things now when I go back, because when I go back, I'm, that actually is a part of me too now. It's not just this place that I visit because I know somebody. It's like, these people are my family. I am part of them just as much as they are a part of me now. And they are my family just as much as my family in America is my family. And to feel that, to experience it, was so profoundly beautiful. And like, that is something that is definitely coming out more so in on the page than it would here. But I think that kind of plays into why I felt, I think there's a combination of things. That's why I felt comfortable holding boundaries, but also at the same time, it's not the only reason. This is something I've been working on for many years now, since the last time I was there. And I think that's just, I hope, you know, maybe it shows if I'm doing something right, but I think when you do grow up and you are doing something right, that just naturally happens, whether you're traveling to another country, accepted as somebody's wife or not. And like you were just talking about in the restaurant scenario, it's like, when you hold a boundary, I think this is just such a big lesson. It's when you hold a boundary, people do respect you. And over time, it's like, boundaries are you teaching other people instructions and how to care for you or what you need to be able to be with them. It's so I can love me and you at the same time. And so in China, it's I can love China and me at the same time. Whereas, I don't know. But another point of topic that I think I wanted to bring here today too was a couple things that have a lot to do with appearances. So, which is something we've talked about before, right? But yeah. I kind of want to bring it in a different way this time. There's something else that I have noticed. So I'm trying to think about which one I want to go into first. I think I'll go into this one first. So, one of my husband's cousins, she actually came to America back in 2019 for the first time. She has since become like, she is 19 years old. The last time I saw her was when she was 14, which is,
oh gosh,
wild.
That's weird.
Because and it's so funny. She still looks the same, and it's, I look at her, but you can tell when she speaks, when she's older, but it's hard for me to wrap my mind around how much time has passed. But we were looking back at pictures from the trip that she had in America. And the first thing she says before anything is, oh my gosh, I'm so fat. And then she was talking about how, like, putting herself down. And I said, that's not the first thing I thought about when I saw this picture. Like, I remember this day so clearly, and we were on the beach and we were having fun and you were enjoying the ocean. And it made me really sad because that's the only thing that she saw when she looked at that picture. But this is not the first time in China that I have witnessed a really, I think, a negative, damaging relationship with one's image or body. I've a couple of times, like before, I mean, one of my husband's previous, like, old childhood friends, like, said to him, like, oh, you've gotten so fat. And I know it's different in different cultures. Like, I've experienced that in Germany when I went there. There was, but they didn't say it to the person's face. But what was so ironic was, after she told me that, the next thing she says to me is, you're so thin, you need to eat some meat. So to me, I'm like, but if I ate meat, meat or quote unquote, or if I ate more and I did become larger,
quote unquote fat,
quote unquote fat, larger in appearance, which there would be nothing wrong with that. But then it would be, you're so fat.
Yeah.
So how do you win? And I was talking about this with my husband. I said, this is just like, this is, I don't even know. This is so yeah. wrong. I was like, what is this about actually?
Yeah.
Because if you're larger, you're too fat. Okay. If I'm just here feeling healthy and like, also I hate to assimilate the word healthy with skinny, because that's not always true. And also mm-hmm. like people who have more weight or seemingly look a different size or larger size, that's healthy too for other people. Like it's not. So I want to call myself out there and remove the intertwining of those two words, because it's just not true. But I was thinking about that in terms of, this is another point of conversation that I think we could dive into deeper, is yeah. nothing is ever good enough when it comes to image. It seems that I think everyone kind of struggles in different ways in different cultures. It's not just in China. It's not yeah. just, I've experienced this in Germany. I think that there is
in the States,
there's all kinds of things. I mean, in Great Britain, there's a lot of, I mean, there's
in
a
the Brandy
high
of Melville right down the street.
Yeah. It's just, this is something I think it's time for us to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of how impossible it must be to grow up in such a brutal environment and like the imagery of things. And I think I grew up in it in a different way, like through the media, especially. The media was so brutal when I was younger, like growing up in that very pivotal time of like age 13, when they're like ripping Miley Cyrus apart for her eyes being too big when her eyes are beautiful, or like all those magazines and like literally just, I don't know, criticizing Britney Spears at every turn. I mean, no wonder she had a mental breakdown. Like, I don't know. I just think about these things and it's like, we set up these impossible situations for one another. And then sometimes, like my husband's cousin, it gets ingrained and it just becomes a part of you. And it's just,
yeah,
this like,
that is the scary part.
That's the scary part.
It's not like about, you know, I understand that you have a social standard. The media has a standard. Sure, it's wrong, but it is what it is. But it's when you programmed it to your own brain, and it's like an invisible ruler that is measuring, but there's no standard. So yes. If there's a standard, then sure, right? Like if you are at this weight, at this height, and if you hit this, you will get $500 for the entire human race. I understand the obsession, but like, no, there's none. And it's not a race. It's not a test, and it should never be programmed into your brain. But I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, my husband was saying too, because we had lots of conversations about, once again, that we've talked about here on the podcast. We were just walking around one evening after my mother-in-law had gone to bed, and we were just spending some time together and just talking, going back and forth about, what does it look like? How do we give our future children, how do we pass this on to them, this culture? Like, how do they be a part of this, but then also be a part of this here in America at the same time? It's the never ending question all the time. Mm-hmm. But then I told him about that instance and he said, those are the parts I want nothing to do with. It's just simply about control. Either apparently I'm too thin now, so I need to eat more. But if I eat more, then and it's not even about, I eat plenty of food. Like it's,
yeah, you do
me.
Which I know.
it's like this, like I said, an impossible
situation. It's not
situation.
About amount. It's not even about meat or not.
He said to me, he said, it's about control. It's about control, assuming control and power over someone else. And I was thinking about it, and I'm like, oh my God, that I can see that. But then also there's this other part of it where it's so much a part of things. It's almost unnoticeable, but I notice it because I come in from the outside. So I don't know, just interesting like that. But then the other thing is this scenario that happened, we went to Sam's Club in my husband's hometown, and I had never been to a Sam's Club before. So it was like wild to experience it, wild to experience it during Chinese New Year, because I've never seen more people in one place at one time in my entire life. And people would always ask me after the first two times I went to China about how were you overwhelmed with how many people? And I said, no, like it's not overwhelming. I think I'm more overwhelmed when I visit New York sometimes than I would be there. But this time I understood. I was part of the largest migration happening on the face of the earth that happens every year. And anyways, we were in Sam's Club, and I can understand a lot. So one thing I noticed too, being put back in the environment, is I can understand a lot more Chinese, and I can speak a lot more than I realized.
Damn.
And
that's cool.
I learned a lot too while I was there. So it was really fun to finally feel like I'm making progress, because I haven't really like totally tested it, put it that way. But I heard these two girls, there were these two sweet young girls, like they had to be around the age of 10, 12, like, and they were sisters. And they were there with their parents walking with the shopping cart. And they looked at me and they said, Ni Han Pao Yong. And then like, Nisha Megorin or like something like that. And
dude, your Chinese is good. Come on. That's insane. What you just said. I was like, wait, what? That's you.
You're like, wait, are you talking? No, but
what?
Like,
yeah. I was just like, are you talking or is that AI? What the heck?
It's AI. I never heard
you speaking Chinese. That's insane.
I don't
think
I've
keep going,
ever
keep
spoke
going.
With you before.
No,
actually.
That's a little trippy. Keep going.
So they didn't think that I understood.
Okay. But they were talking to you though.
No. They're like,
wait, but they say ni han chao down.
Oh, excuse me. Ta. Ta ta ta.
Oh, ta. Han, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I got it mixed up. I'm not that perfect yet. They said ta. So they were just talking like to each other and looking at me, and I knew what they were saying. But they didn't know that I knew. And they just were looking at me, and like we ran into each other a few other times, and they were just still looking at me, and they were just kind of, I think, enamored with me in a way. But what I've noticed too in that regard, like, I know I look different, people are going to always look at me when I'm there, but I feel a little bit sick in the sense that I worry that those girls see me as the ideal.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And they reject their own beauty because they, and the things that make them unique and special. And I wanted so badly to go find them again. And I did a couple times, but I did not, I don't know. I didn't go up. I should have gone up to them, and I wanted to tell them, not Ta, but Ni Minsha Paliong, like to both of them, and tell them, like, you are so beautiful. Like, look at you. Like, I'm not, I know, like, this is the ideal, because I think about when I was 15 and I briefly had a stint with a modeling agency, and they told me that I would do best in the Asian market. And because of I'm tall, like I have somewhat blonde hair and all of that. But then I'm thinking about that And I'm like, how? I don't know. I just feel that that is, we're teaching an entire generation of women to grow up and do everything they possibly can to not be them and not to not treasure what makes them so beautiful and unique. And they end up chasing. And I've noticed, like, this time in China too, I noticed how there are elements of things. It's like, make my hair lighter, or I don't know, just these different elements. It's almost like chasing me. But then it's like,
but then it's weird to think about it that way, because you don't want to feel like, okay, you don't want to give up the impression that, oh, you are thinking too much, you're putting yourself too high. Oh yeah, don't worry about it. Like, we're not really chasing after that beauty standard. You know, you don't want to appear to be ignorant, but also every single indicator is pointing towards the direction that is has a lot of similarity to your biological feature. But regardless what that indicator is, it's very opposite from what the natural born features that we have.
Yes.
I think that is what makes it really uncomfortable.
Yes, because the last thing I want, and this ties in with all of that body image stuff too that I was just talking about earlier. The last thing I want, and I'll never know, I'm never going to see these girls again, but the last thing I want is them to see someone like me and chase their whole life trying to look like me or to aspire to be like me because they saw me in a Sam's Club when they were 10 and 12. You know what I mean? I do not, because, oh my God, I just want them to grow up so happy and so confident and so fulfilled and so sure of themselves and how they are and how they were born into this world. As I want that for everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's freedom.
And I think I can already see people mindset that, oh, don't worry, Meg, they're not going to chase after you. You're thinking too much. But I think what we're trying to say here is they should look inwards, and that the standard should come from inside,
yes,
from you.
That's
not
what I'm
from
saying.
Any other people, right? Either.
Right.
It should not be like, oh, you're so beautiful because you're blonde. It should just be like, you're so beautiful, period.
Right. And then also, like, holding, because the thing is, switch me out of the situation. It could be any,
it could be a model, it could be an idol.
It could be just your average American. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that will still be idolized. And it's like, I think what I'm trying to say is just, I think very deeply inside of me is rejecting this aspect of the culture that seems to idolize everything but themselves.
Yes.
And
I know. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I know what you mean.
And
put
then,
yourself out of the picture is almost like a virtue.
Right. Yeah. And I know, like, yeah, it really, because people can waste their lives. People can waste their whole lives, like, chasing something that's completely unattainable and they never needed to chase it in the first place. Whether that's being, oh, you're too thin, you need to eat more, or I'm so fat, or you're so beautiful and I'm not. When none of that is, like, that's not true. You know what
and
I mean?
I think that is not true. And most importantly, when you say wasting life, and what I see is the hard truth is that eventually it will all look back to you. The elephant in the room is that you can never get rid of yourself in the picture.
Right.
You can never really be someone else to that degree. Imitation is never going to be. You will have your life to live. You will have your image to keep, and it has to come from you.
Yeah.
And to have an unattainable goal, it's very unhealthy sometimes. I think it can be seen as, it's good to have a model that to keep up with, or to learn from, but it's not healthy to be as obsessed over that. And you can see it from just an encounter in Sam's Club.
Yes.
And I can't even imagine how many incidents that you have experienced during this trip that made you have that realization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there was a family member. She is gorgeous. I just met her for the first time, but everybody is so in, like, once again, I'm walking into this room. I don't even have makeup on. I'm sick with COVID because I got COVID mm-hmm. during this trip. And still somehow it's pointed out very subtly that somehow I'm the ideal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I don't want to be the ideal, and I don't want somebody to have me as the ideal. Like, and like you said, it's not about like putting me on the, I think what I'm trying to say is I just noticed this rejection of, and I think what created that, honestly, mm-hmm. we're about to cut real deep here. I think what creates that is the colonial influence around the world of this is the ideal. You shall mm-hmm. follow this. This is what you need to look like. This is what you need. This is the mold you need to fit into. Here's the culture that you need to conform to. Let's see how we can quote unquote westernize everything. Like, my husband had and I had these conversations a lot, but I think there's deep rooted part of that where it just has continued on. And I don't know, somehow I want that to be reversed. I want that mm-hmm. not reversed, but I just don't want that to be the thing, because who's to say I'm better or you're better? Like, mm-hmm. we're just people here mm-hmm. in the same place. And I think that I'm better or you're better or this is better or that's better, that just creates this really intense, unnecessary friction and unattainability that you'll chase forever, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just really cut deep in me. And I don't know, I think I have ideas that I think I'll definitely share offline of how to continue that conversation with a very special guest that I Ooh. Think we could get. Like, it's a slight reach, but a really exciting reach if we can make it happen. I'll tell you about that later, and then just drop that here for all of you to get slightly excited about if it happens.
Yeah, no, I think with that also, I think we are around a good time to wrap up.
We are.
It's a lot of information, and we will continue. I love how much this trip and this past few weeks have brought to our growth and inspiration. And there's just a lot to talk about, and I can't so wait much. To record again.
I know. Yeah. There's going to be like, this is part one. Definitely there's going to be a part two. I mean, we still need to talk
about. Who
knows
how many parts there have to be.
There will be a million parts, and it's just going to be a bunch of more and more episodes, which is truly like what I was saying at the beginning of this episode, is that there is
a plethora.
There's so much to talk about. And also there's so much to talk about in your world too, with your transition. I mean, that is huge. And mind you, I just want to mention before we go, like, it was insane because I'm in the back of this car. Amy is going to bed and I'm starting my day. And she is telling me, I'm taking things over. I'm having this happen. I'm like, what? And then in that moment, I don't know, it's so wild. We were across the world from one another. We're having these very few, like, quick, short messages. But I felt like more connected to you than ever in that moment.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it, but I just felt so connected to you in just this inextricable way where we're just completely. I had this overwhelming feeling. It almost makes me emotional. It's like, this is like, I get to have her in my life from here on out, you know?
Yeah, and no, you do.
I've and, had you, know, the, you all this time. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you always have. And you know the fun part. And I know that it's a real connection. And I will end the episode here. Is that it's those exchange that you do not expect or you do not feel pressure to respond immediately. it can just end there because I remember clearly I sent that to you and I fell asleep. That's it.
Yes. I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
So with that, we'll see you soon.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for listening. We'd love for you to join in on the conversation. If you haven't already, please rate and review this podcast. You can also connect with us on Instagram at @spark_podcast and Facebook at the Spark Podcast with Meg and Amy, or send us an email at hellosparkpodcast@gmail.com.
And wherever you may be listening from, we hope you have the courage to be the spark.